Unto the Day by Telesilla, read by Helen78. Hey, Rodney says as they leave the mess hall. You want to watch something tonight? Back before they started this thing they have going, John would have sworn that Rodney couldn't do subtle. Yet here he is, making a date with John that will lead to sex of some kind. Hopefully kinky. John's in the mood for it. And no one overhearing them could possibly think it's anything more than a night spent watching the new Battlestar Galactica. Or maybe no one really cares much, John thinks. It isn't the kind of thought he likes to encourage, because if he's wrong, he's screwed. That Rodney understands and sympathizes in his own prickly way, where sympathy involves insulting both the U.S. military and the president, is one more reason to be with him. Well, that and the kinky sex. Okay, John says. I need to head to my room first. I'll be over in a few, Rodney says, and John finds himself wondering what Rodney is going back for. Or had John missed something, and were they really going to spend the evening in front of a laptop, watching downloaded TV episodes that had been smuggled in piggybacked on the data bursts from Earth? But then his computer pings as he gets into his room, and there's a one-line email from Rodney. Be naked and on your knees next to the bed. Just like that, John's hard. The 5 minutes or so that he waits next to the bed feel like 5 hours. Headspace has always been tricky for John. But Rodney, in his typical way, doesn't care how tricky it is. He expects that John will safe word out or do as he's told, and that's that. John finds it hot as hell and surprisingly effective. When Rodney approaches the room, the doors slide open. John had talked the city into allowing Rodney full access to his quarters, and he still remembers the way Rodney's face lit up, as if John had given him a fully charged ZPM that also dispensed unlimited chocolate and coffee. It's probably the weirdest and most romantic thing John's ever done for a top, or any lover for that matter, and he still doesn't know what to make of that. As soon as he hears the hiss of the door, he drops his gaze down to the floor. Rodney doesn't always want this kind of thing, but when John's been told to be on his knees, that means he's to be on his best behavior. He learned that before he even knew Rodney. God, Rodney says softly. And really, Rodney being wowed by John will never not be cool. I found the coolest thing today, Rodney continues, and that's a little weird, because usually Rodney goes from being wowed to telling John what to do. I was in that lab Jinto found way back with the, energy creature. There wasn't much else in the lab, and with everything going on that first month, we never went back and checked it out again. But then today I was busy having a thought when I got in the transporter and I hit the wrong button, and really that's neither here nor there. There was this box of supplies from the early days of the mission, because of the closet thing, and it had the weirdest bunch of stuff in it. By now, John really, really wants to look at Rodney, and the knowledge that Rodney won't care doesn't make it any easier. I have no idea why anyone wanted to bring these to the Pegasus Galaxy, Rodney says, and something thumps to the floor right in front of John. Oh God, John says, and if he thought he was hard before, that's nothing compared to the way he feels now. Yeah, Rodney says, sounding pleased. And can you imagine? Who in hell would think to bring a package of clothespins to Atlantis? Well, several packages, but that's not important right now. John's too busy thinking of what he can do with those clothespins to really care much about why someone in the first wave would bring them from Earth. He shivers a little, licking his lips. Tell me what you're thinking, Rodney says, his voice suddenly sharp and focused. What it will feel like when they come off, John says. His hands twitch just a little, and he can hear Rodney chuckle. Well, go on then, Rodney says, and for once, John doesn't seem to hear the missing words. Get up on the bed. I want you kneeling this time. As John moves into position, Rodney settles down into John's desk chair, wheeling it closer than usual. How many can you take? At least a dozen, John says. Maybe more. Start with 6, Rodney says, reaching out to touch John's face. I want to see it build up. How can you be such a sadist and not want to hurt me yourself? Thinking like that is dangerous. This is going to be a good scene, and John doesn't want to screw it up. Where? He asks, as Rodney hands him a clothespin. Here, Rodney says, leaning over to touch John's chest a few inches above his right nipple. Oh yeah, John moans softly, arching into Rodney's touch for a moment before pinching up as much skin as he can. The moment the clothespin bites into his skin, he gasps. Where? He asks, holding out his hand. Once the first 6 are on, Rodney has him pause. Lean back and spread your knees more. Oh yeah, that's good. He reaches down and rests the palm of his hand against John's cock, far too lightly. God, Rodney murmurs as John's hips move. You're so... God, so amazing. Blinking, John stares at him. He'd been so sure that Rodney would forget and bring the humiliation, given that John was all but humping his hand like a poorly trained puppy. He closes his eyes, and behind the shelter of darkness, rubs up against Rodney's hand even more. Six more? Rodney asks after a moment. Please, John says, opening his eyes. He holds his breath until Rodney nods. At Rodney's direction, John clamps the first two clothespins to his nipples, and God, but it's good. He's pinched them on Rodney's command before, but this... They don't have nipple clamps, and as they haven't yet found the planet of people willing to trade sex toys for basic medical supplies, their games are all about making do, in more ways than one. Rodney stops at a dozen. John thinks he could take more, but the last thing he wants to do is try to talk Rodney into hurting him beyond either of their comfort zones. Not to mention that not only is this some really good pain he's got going now, but it's going to hurt like fuck when the clothespins come off. He shivers a little in anticipation. Sit up on your heels, Rodney says, reaching into his pocket. He pops open the bottle of lube and slicks up two of his fingers. John closes his eyes again as Rodney's hand moves between his legs, and then gasps as Rodney starts to press those slick fingers inside him. Open up for me, Rodney says, and John's body obeys, dragging his mind along for the ride. It's partly the pain. It's always relaxed him and made sex easier. But it's also that it's Rodney. His hips move again. This time he's trying to get more of those big, blunt fingers inside him, but Rodney puts his other hand on John's thigh. Be still, he says. And John moans, but does as he's told. Play with them. Rodney gestures to the clothespins. Acutely aware of Rodney's fingers inside him, John runs his hand over his chest, moving the clothespins without knocking them off. It hurts like hell, the pain made more intense by the fact that Rodney's told him not to move, and John is soon panting and gasping and making those embarrassing little whiny noises in the back of his throat. Do you want them to come off? And now John knows what it's like to be Rodney, because he suddenly can't hold back words, even though this is totally not the time to say them. You, he says. You do it, please. And now Rodney doesn't need to tell him to be still, because John's frozen, his eyes tightly closed. John, I... They have to come off, John says, and for Christ's sake, why is he arguing this when he's got Rodney's fingers in his ass and a dozen bright points of pain placed on his chest where Rodney wanted them? You can't... It's impossible to go too far here. There's no way. He opens his eyes to see Rodney looking at him, and he knows it's not fair, because as much as he wants to say, it's okay, call me a slut or a whore for wanting it, he can't. He's too open. He's let Rodney in too far, and he knows that if Rodney were to say something cruel now, he'd believe it. Please, John says, and that's really not playing fair at all. But Rodney's eyes are wide, and he looks like all he needs is just a little nudge. Rodney says, but he's already reaching for one of the clothespins, and John holds his breath. It hurts like fuck when the pin comes off, but John was expecting it, and he arches a little, riding out the pain with a harsh gasp. Thank you, he says, breathing hard. Rodney's staring at him, eyes wide, and for a moment John's sure he's gone too far. God, Rodney murmurs, reaching out. You're so good, he says, and then tugs another clothespin off. It's okay, you can yell. Glad that he's got permission, John does yell as the clothespins come off, one after another. They're always worse coming off than they are going on, and he can feel himself going tight around Rodney's fingers. I'm going to be in you before these come off, Rodney says, flicking one of the pins on John's nipples. Oh, God, yeah, John moans. Please. Please, Rodney. Hush, Rodney says firmly as he unzips his pants. You can make as much noise as you want, but don't talk. Now lean forward so I can fuck you. Rodney pushes in hard, and John groans in frustration. It's so damn good, and he desperately wants to thank Rodney. Since he can't, he does his best to let his body talk for him, pushing back against the pressure of Rodney's thick cock inside him. I love the way you want it, Rodney says, once he's as in deep as possible in John's body. The way you need it. He grabs at John's hips and tugs. Sit back now. Rodney leaves one hand on John's hip as he fucks him with short, hard thrusts. His other hand is busy playing with the remaining two clothespins, and while John had guessed it would be good if he got Rodney to hurt him, he hadn't expected it to be this amazing. Before long, he's whimpering and gasping, sweat springing up all over his body as he fights back words of gratitude. "I'm going to take these off," Rodney gasps. "You can come after that." John can't hold back the harsh yell as the first pin comes off. The pain is perfect, ripping through him, and he slams himself down on Rodney's cock. "Fuck," Rodney grunts. He pulls the last pin off, and John cries out again, his whole body straining as he finally comes, the orgasm tearing through him. He's still panting harshly when Rodney shoves him forward until John's on his elbows, face buried on the pillow. He's all but boneless, floating so high on a feel-good haze of endorphins that he hardly notices Rodney's tight grip on his hips. "John," Rodney moans as he finally comes. "Oh God, fuck, John." He all but collapses on John's back, and John's more than happy to feel Rodney against him, warm and comforting. "Jesus," John says softly when Rodney finally flops over onto his side. "Rodney, that was... thank you." "I think I should be thanking you," Rodney says, leaning over and kissing John's shoulder. "It's been... I haven't been able to hurt anyone like that since... for a long time." "I'm sorry," John says, reaching out and grabbing Rodney's hand. "I wanted to be able to let you call me... but I still can't. This leaves me to..." It's a good thing that they know each other so well, he thinks. There's a good chance that Rodney knows what John means. "It's okay," Rodney says, kicking his shoes off. He sits up long enough to strip and then settles back down next to John. "I won't pretend that I wouldn't love to be able to talk to you like that, but..." His voice trails off, and when he next speaks, the words come out in a barely audible rush. "This thing we have is so good that I would miss it more than I miss calling someone a slut or a boy or a whore, and now I think we need to go back to being guys and not talking about it, okay?" "That works for me," John says. "Except, you know, me too." End. This has been a reading of Unto the Day by Telesilla, read by Helen78. For more of the author's work, visit archiveofourown.org/users/Telesilla.